Okay, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're looking at beginning with verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That a sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Just a few points here as we get started. When Adam sinned, he brought sin and death into the world. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is the sin and the death that Adam committed, and the death, which was the sentence that God passed upon Adam if he were to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Secondly, the sin of Adam made us all sinners because we sinned in him. That's the last part of verse 12. And so death passed upon all men, for that all, literally all sinned, all have sinned, and that is the identical phrase that we see in Romans 3:23. For all sinned, all have sinned, and that sin has to do with Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, we sinned with him. For that all sinned. Because all sinned, in Adam, all died. Death passed upon all men. Death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. Fourth, individual sins are not put to one's account until a law is transgressed. That's what we see in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. The point here is that man sinned, death reigned from Adam to Moses. We'll see that in the next verse. There was death because there was sin. But sin did not take the nature of a transgression until the law came, until the law was given to Moses. Prior to Moses, people were lawless, and once Moses gave the law, man became a lawbreaker, a law transgressor. And that's the point that Paul is making here. Individual sins are not put to one's account until a law is transgressed. Point number five, death reigned before law because man sinned in Adam and not because man disobeyed a specific command. When Adam sinned, we all sinned in Adam. That's the point that Paul is making here in Romans chapter 5. The sin of Adam was important to us, tragically, but important to us because we transgressed in Adam. Then the next point is that Adam is a type of Christ. And we saw that in that a type of Christ, a picture of Christ, in that Adam is the federal head of the world. And secondly, and this is where we ended last week, his one act brought a permanent consequence which we could do nothing to get out of. All right, so that is what's true here. The one act that he committed brought a permanent consequence, and a consequence that comes down to you and to me. He is the federal head of the world, and as the federal head of the human race, he sinned, and we sinned in Adam. Now, next point is that Christ is the antitype. There's the type. The antitype is the one of whom the type speaks of, the one that the type pictures. And Adam is a picture of Christ in a sense, even though there's a great contrast, many contrasts presented here in Romans chapter 5 between Adam and Christ, what Adam accomplished for the human race and what Christ accomplished for the human race. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, the type, of him that was to come. That's the antitype of him that was to come, speaking of Christ. All right? In the same way that Adam was the federal head of the world, Christ, however, is the federal head of the new creation. The new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what's exciting about what Christ accomplishes for the body of Christ, for us as individual members, is that we are new creatures, new creations. We are a new creation. The body of Christ is a new creation, and we as individuals are new creations. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything that was true of us in Adam is passed away. That's the wonderful thing. And all things in Christ are become new, new creatures. Everything we were in Adam has passed away. Everything that is true of Christ is true of us. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. There is no value in circumcision or uncircumcision. There is no advantage to circumcision. There is no disadvantage to uncircumcision. That's not the issue, Paul says. The real issue is a new creature, a new creation. That's the issue. See that in verse 15? In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, and the next word is created. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Created in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. Something brand new, something uniquely different in our very essence, in our very nature. New creatures. Verse 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, one new man, the body of Christ. Of the two, Jews and Gentiles, one body, one new man, one new creation. So in a real sense, we as individuals are new creatures in Christ. All things, everything that was true of us in Adam has passed away. Everything that we are and have in Christ is new. Everything. And God is also forming a new man, a new creation, the body of Christ, where circumcision and uncircumcision are of no avail, of no benefit, of no value, because the important thing is a new creation. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 24, Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man, this new creation that God has formed, where all things, everything that was true of Adam has passed away, all things have become new in Christ, now is to become the pattern of our life and living. Because this new creation is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. So when God declares us righteous in justification and gives to us a gift righteousness, which we did not possess as those who were in Adam, because everything that was true of us in Adam was that we were filled with all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Now God gives to us a gift righteousness, declaring us righteous by faith, and gives us a true holiness, a holiness that's according to truth, and we are to put on in our daily living, in our daily practice, that which is true of us in our position. We are to live righteously, and we're to live lives of true holiness, or holiness in truth. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. It took God not changing what was true of us in Adam, not cleaning up what was true of us in Adam, not refurbishing what was true of us in Adam, not cleaning it up, not putting a mask of holiness. We had to die. The only thing that could happen to Adam was to nail Adam to the cross. And that's what we'll see in Romans 6. Adam needed to go to the cross. Adam needed to die. Can't clean up Adam. Can't straighten him out. Can't put religion on him. Can't make him better. Can't get him to act righteously or holy. Just can't. Adam can pretend to be holy. Adam can pretend to be religious. Adam can pretend to be righteous. But at the end of the day, Adam is sinful and evil and a rebel and unrighteous and unholy. God had to trash or crucify, kill Adam. It's the only thing that could be done with Adam. And then he proceeded to make a new creation. A new creation. And we are that new creation in Christ. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. All of the religious activity and the religion of the Jews, whether circumcision or uncircumcision, avails nothing but a new creature, a new creation. That's what matters. And that's what we need to learn, is to understand that nothing matters except a new creation. God creating us anew in Christ. That's the issue. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Paul is exhorting the Colossians and us But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off the old man, Adam, and have put on the new man, the new creation, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge. That's how the renewal takes place in us, day by day. And it's consistent with, according to, that which he created. All right? After the image of him that created him, created this new man, who we are in Christ. Go back to Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. By the offense of one, and by the righteousness of one. One from Adam, the other from Christ. Adam as the federal head of the human race, Christ as the federal head of his new creation, the body of Christ. Now, the second thing that is true, as you see in the type, his one act brought a permanent consequence, which we could do nothing to get out of. So, his one act, Christ's one act, brings a permanent consequence which we can do nothing to get out of. Once we are in Christ, there is nothing that can separate us from our union with Christ. Once we are part of the new creation, we cannot go back. We cannot lose it. We cannot reject it. We cannot run from it. Not that we'd want to. Once we are in Christ, we can't get out of Christ. That's an impossibility. When you're in Adam, there's something you can do to get out of Adam. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of God's new creation in Christ. But once you're in Christ, there's nothing you can do to get out of that. Okay, verse 15 of Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. You see, it is not a reward for performance. It is not a result of our good works so that we deserve it or that God is indebted to us to give it to us. It is a free gift. Free. You and I did nothing to deserve it. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. Free gift, but not as the offense. The offense came because we sinned in Adam, but the free gift comes to us, and the free gift is something that comes to us freely and is offered to us as a free gift, not as the offense. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. The word free and the word grace are used together here in verse 15 as they are back in Romans chapter 3. Being justified freely by his grace. Here, the free gift. The gift by grace. Undeserved. God initiating it. God creating it. God making it possible for us to receive this free gift by faith. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the what? The gift. The gift. For the judgment was by one trespass. to condemnation, but the free gift. Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Over and over again, Paul emphasizes the fact that this is a gift, a free gift, a gift that comes to us by the grace of God. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Christ's one act makes provision for those of us who were in Adam and who now become new creations. We'll deal with contrasts between Adam and Christ in a few minutes. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift. The free gift. The free gift of righteousness and eternal life. Free gift. Righteousness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy. God's free gift to us, the gift of grace, and He gave to us a dual gift here, the gift of righteousness and the gift of eternal life. In Romans chapter 4, that's what justification is. God declaring us righteous and giving to us the gift of eternal life. And you can read it over and over again in Romans chapter 4. Adam, as the federal head of the first creation, what did he give to us? What did Adam bequeath to us? Sin and death. Sin and death. Christ, as the federal head of the body of Christ, what does he bequeath to us? Righteousness and life. Sin and death, righteousness and life. In verse 16, we see justification. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one trespass to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, the last part of the verse, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Justification, righteousness shall reign in life. Justification, righteousness, life. In verse 18, we have righteousness again. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification, being declared righteous, the justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Sinners in Adam, righteous in Christ. Dead in Adam, alive in Christ. Verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Righteousness and eternal life. So what we have in Christ is a new creation. Look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. What did we have in Adam? No hope. Absolutely no hope. Death, sin and death. For ye have not received, verse 15, the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what there was in Adam, fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, remember, how did we enter the body of Christ? Were we adopted into the body of Christ? No. The word adoption here means son placing. It's a new standing of adult placing. More of that is explained in Galatians chapter 4 by the Apostle Paul. So that we're no longer children. We have received the adoption, the son placing, so that now we, as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, have and possess and can enjoy all spiritual blessings in Christ. Everything that is Christ's is ours, and we can enjoy it now. And shame on us if we don't. And so we no longer have the spirit of fear. Now we have an intimacy with the Father like the one that Christ had with the Father. He alone referred to him as Abba, Father, and now we, in this term of great intimacy, are able to address him, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. What's his is ours. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The sufferings of now are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 23. Not only they, that's creation groaning, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. When we receive all of the full benefits of sonship, positionally we have them now, and one day even our bodies will catch up with that which is true of us positionally. We will receive new bodies and will be glorified together with him. There's Adam, the type, Christ, the one that fulfills the picture of Adam as the new federal head of a new creation. Adam, the federal head of the first creation. In Adam, all sinned, and in Adam, all died. Christ, the federal head of the new creation, the body of Christ, and in him we have righteousness and life. The next point is what Christ gives far exceeds what we lost in Adam. What Christ gives far exceeds what we lost in Adam and stands in contrast to what we got in Adam. Now, the first subpoint under that is that, and this is important, Christ did not come to restore what we lost in Adam. That's not what Christ came to do. He did not come to restore what we lost in Adam. Adam was given a commandment with penalty. Eat of anything in the garden but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you will not eat, because the moment that you eat, you will surely die. Dying, you will die. He had a probational life and a conditional life. A conditional life. His life was dependent upon his obedience to God. Now, Adam was perfect when he was created. He was capable of losing that, and he did. Adam was innocent when he was created. He lost his innocence. What God has given us is not a passing on our probation. He has given us salvation, justification, a gift righteousness that is not dependent upon our obedience to any command that he gives. He had conditional life. If you do this, you'll live. As God said to the Jews in the law, do this and live. To us, we are given as a new creation eternal life as a gift. Not on the basis of our obedience to a command, but on the basis of our faith in what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Adam was perfect, but he was capable of losing his perfection, which he did. We have eternal security. We cannot lose that which God has given to us in grace and in Christ. We cannot lose it. It's ours permanently. He lost his innocence. He became a sinner, and as a result of his sin, death was imposed upon him. We are given justification, and in justification we are given a gift, righteousness. So God did not come to restore Adam, to fix Adam. Literally, God had to start over again. He had to start over again. Adam had to die, had to go to the cross. He had to start with a new creation based on justification, a salvation that God gives to us, not on the basis of our obedience to a command. He gives to us eternal life, eternal security, and righteousness in justification. That's the new creation. He didn't come to fix that which was broken. He did infinitely more than that, something totally different. You know, thank God that he has taken sinners who have the sentence of death upon them, hopelessly lost, and we are the recipients. We as sinners are the recipients of all that God has accomplished in Christ. He gives to us that which we cannot do for ourselves. He gives us that which we could not earn for ourselves. And how grateful would it be for that? Never lose sight of who you were in Adam and who you are in Christ. In Adam, dead, judgment, condemnation. In Christ, justification, eternal life, righteousness belong to us. Now, while Adam is a type of Christ, his one act, and its consequences stand in direct contrast to Christ's one act and its consequences. So, while Adam is a type of Christ, his one act and the consequences of that one act stand in complete, total contrast to the one act that Christ performed and the consequences of that one act. Total contrast here between the two. Verse 15 of Romans 5. Notice verse 15 starts with the words that indicate there's a contrast. But not as the offense. Not as the offense. So also is the free gift. They're contrasted. They're essentially different. Different in essence. Verse 16. Not as it was by one that sinned. Not as it was by one that sinned. Adam. So is the gift in Christ. So the two stand in complete contrast to each other. Point number 8. What Christ gives far exceeds what we lost in Adam and stands in contrast to what we got in Adam. First subpoint there is Christ did not come to restore what we lost in Adam. And the second subpoint, while Adam is a type of Christ, his one act and its consequences stand in direct contrast to Christ's one act and its consequences. What we have here is a contrast between the first Adam the first, and Christ, who is called the last Adam. All right? The first Adam and the last Adam. First of all, there was one act, one act, and that act is described here as, in Romans 5, as offense. Offense. It is described as sin. It is described as transgression. It is also described as disobedience. So that's the one act. The one act, eating of the fruit that was forbidden to Adam. The one act, which is an offense, which is a sin, which is a transgression, and it is disobedience. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So sinned according to Adam's transgression. In verse 15, but not as the offense, you see, offense, the offense of one. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense. Verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one. And then verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience. So the one act of Adam is described as an offense. An offense literally is a deviation from a path. That's an offense. It's a deviation from the path that he should have been on. Sin, the word sin is, if you picture a target, it's missing the mark. It's going off to the side and missing the mark. A transgression is, here is a law, and it's overstepping, going over the line and transgressing that law that was given, that command that was given to Moses. Disobedience is a refusal to hear. A refusal to hear. And all of these are involved in this one act of Adam. All right? There's a deviation from the path. There's an overstepping the line, the command that God gave. It is missing the mark. And it is a refusal on the part of Adam to hear what God said to him. And that's what's involved in this one sin. Now, also here, there is one act. One act. One act. Also, you see that in verse 15, and it's an act of righteousness. I'll put an R with a circle for righteousness. And it's an act of obedience on the part of Christ. Christ was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, that cruel, awful death on the cross. The one act, here's the contrast between the two. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. By one man, Jesus Christ. The one man over here is Adam, the first. Over there, it's Adam, the last. Christ's obedience. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. The righteousness of one, the one righteous act by the one righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. By one accomplished righteousness. Verse 19, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience. One man's disobedience, the result, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The righteousness of God revealed in Paul's gospel, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, resulting in salvation to everyone that believes. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed." And the Apostle Paul, through Romans 3, 4, justification or being declared righteous by faith, Romans 5, the benefits of righteousness, and how did this righteousness come? This righteousness came through the obedience of one man when he went to the cross. The obedience of the cross. One man's obedience. This one act was an act of disobedience, an act of sin, an act of rebellion, an act of transgression, an offense to God, a deviation from the path. But through the righteousness, through the righteous act of one man, Jesus Christ, we now are able to possess righteousness through the obedience of this one man. The next thing that we see is, what is it that this one act, what was the consequence or result of that one act? Sin and death. Sin and death are the result of this one act. Verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Sin and death come from Adam, and so death passed upon all men because all sinned in Adam. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." Death. Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift, for through the offense of one, many be dead." Death and sin. Verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one," and the one there refers to the one trespass, the one act of disobedience. So judgment and condemnation came through Adam. And that's what's true of everyone that is in Adam, that everyone that is not in Christ. That's what was true of me before I was placed into Christ. I was in Adam. Through the one offense, through the one sin, through the one transgression and disobedience of Adam, I sinned. I participated in that sin, in that he is my federal head of the human race. And as a result, I participated in the consequence of that sin, of that one act of disobedience, sin and death, and the result, judgment and condemnation. That's what rests, that's what is true of everyone that is in Adam. Verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one trespass," one sin, one act of offense and transgression. "Judgment was by one trespass to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Death reigned as king, and there was judgment and condemnation upon all. Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." What a horrible thing to be in Adam. How horrible, how hopeless, how tragic, how eternally tragic to be in Adam. And yet, there is nothing that we could do as being in Adam to be changed or to be transported over there all the wishing, all the commitment, all the religious activity, all the rituals, all the religious observances, all the sincerity. Nothing can translate somebody and take them out of Adam and place them into Christ, except the one act which has nothing to do with what you do or any acts that you perform. It's the one act of righteousness and obedience that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on your behalf. It's His act, His work of righteousness, His death on the cross that makes it possible for God to place death on this and transfer us over to a life in Christ. Okay? So what do we have here? Sin and death. What do we have here? Righteousness and life. That's what we have in Christ. The contrast between the two. Verse 16 again. Not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one trespass to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. Justification, which has to do with righteousness, declaring a sinner righteous. That's what justification is. Justification. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The many offenses, listen, the many offenses referred to there placed on Christ. Your offenses, my offenses placed on Christ. And through His one act of obedience, His one act of righteousness, it is possible for us to have a gift righteousness and the gift of eternal life. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Justification, righteousness, and life. That's what reigns in us. Righteousness and life. The third point here is that this is inherited. We have no choice. We have no choice about being placed into Adam. We're born and we're raised in Adam until something specific happens. There's a provision that has been made for us to get out of Adam, but until we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and rely upon His one act of righteousness, His one act of obedience, we are hopelessly lost. And all that rests upon us is sin and death, judgment and condemnation, and it's inherited. How is it inherited? By participating in His sin. And we have no choice about that. That's true. That is absolutely true. You had no choice as to who your parents were. No choice. You didn't say, no, I don't think I want to be born into this family. I think I'd rather be born into this family. That'd be a lot better. I don't like that mom and dad. I like this other mom and dad. No choice. Even so, you and I had absolutely no choice as to whether we would be born in Adam or not. We are all born in Adam. No choice. It's true. We do have a choice as to whether we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be placed into Christ and receive all the blessings and benefits. And people are presented with this. And unfortunately, the vast majority reject it. They don't want to believe this. They don't want to acknowledge that this is true of them, even though God says it's true. And they don't want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of righteousness and the gift of eternal life, which doesn't come by a lot of effort to get from here to there. God did not come to fix what was wrong here, what was wrong with Adam. Adam couldn't be fixed. He couldn't be repaired. God can't repair Adam. Adam is hopeless, lost, dead, sin, judgment, condemnation. God had to start over again with a new creation. A new creation. And he makes us new creations, as we saw in the first session, in Christ. How does this happen? Is that inherited? Absolutely not. You don't inherit it by being born into a Christian home. You don't become a Christian by attending a Christian church. You don't become a Christian merely by hearing the gospel. What has to happen? This is something that is received as a gift, and it is given as a gift on the basis of faith. Faith in what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. This is inherited. This is not. This is not. You don't inherit righteousness and life. You receive it as a gift. God gives it to you and to me as a gift. And he places us into Christ and gives us everything that is true of Christ. So let's review these verses one more time here. Verse 15, but not as the offense, not as the offense, so is the free gift, the free gift. For if through the offense of one, the offense of one, Adam, many are dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. This gift is by grace. Grace is written all over it. It is undeserved. It is unmerited. You don't work for it. It's grace. So verse 15, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. It is Christ dying for the sins of the entire world, and this gift of righteousness and eternal life abounds to many, all those who believe, all those who will receive that gift by believing. Receiving and believing are used together. Even in what Christ said to the Jews. But as many as received him, to them he gave eternal life. Even to those that believe on his name. To receive him is to believe. To believe is to receive. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one trespass to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. See the contrast here between the two. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive what? Abundance of grace, abundant grace. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's on the left side. Even so by the righteousness of one, on the right side, the righteous act of the one righteous man, Jesus Christ, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification resulting in life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of one, it's all related to what Christ did on the cross. When he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. His desire, his commitment, his passion, he was completely absorbed in doing one thing. I have come to do thy will, Christ said. To do the will of God. And the will of God was for Christ to come and to bear our offenses on the cross. That was his one righteous act, his one act of obedience that causes God to give us righteousness, justification, righteousness, and eternal life. And that's something that is received as a gift by God's grace, through the abundance of God's grace. We receive forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and life. It's a gift. And it's a free gift, as Paul says here in Romans 5, a free gift. There's no cause in you or in me that causes God to say, he or she deserves it. I'm going to give it to them because of what they are or what they've done or what they've not done. It's all of grace. Marvelous grace. Infinite grace. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. God's grace. And thank God for grace. If not, we'd all be here. If not, there'd be no hope. There'd be no way out. All that would be awaiting us is what awaits every unbeliever in this world. Sin and death, judgment and condemnation, which they have inherited because they're descendants of their federal head, Adam. While Adam is a type of Christ, his one act and its consequences stand in direct contrast to Christ's one act and its consequences. One more time, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Many be made righteous. The next subpoint here is that Christ's accomplishment and provision are, I'm not sure if this is a great word, it seems too limiting, incomparable. You can't compare it to anything else. It's so abundant, so overly great, so overly awesome that it can't be compared to anything else. So we have the much mores of this chapter in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 15. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded. So it's grace and abounded and free gift. You see that? Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. You know, it's interesting. Paul uses abundance, and he uses the word abound or abounded when he refers to grace. Grace is much more abound. Grace abounded. It's grace and then some and overflowing and then some and then some, and it's infinite in its proportions. An oxymoron. Infinite cannot have proportions, but it's infinite. Infinite grace. Much more, verse 17, they which receive abundance of grace. And then verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense, here's the offense, might abound. Oh, so far we've seen abundance of grace. Grace has abounded. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what Christ provided is just so infinitely greater, obviously, than what we inherited in Adam. It's such a contrast from who we were in Adam, what Adam accomplished for us. The law came alongside of sin to bring the offense to its culmination. That's verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law came, and this is one of the purposes of law. One of the purposes of law is that sin might abound. Now, before the law came, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now God gives the law. And the law says, thou shalt do this, and thou shalt not do this. And God reveals, partially, his holiness and his righteousness in that law. And the real purpose of that law is so that sin might abound, so that sin might be made exceedingly sinful, because when the law comes, what does Adam do? When the law comes, Adam says, oh, no problem, I'll keep it. When the law comes, Adam says, just tell me what to do, and I'll check it off. I'll do it. That's law, and that's legalism. I will do this, I will do that, and I will do this and this. And look at that, I'm checking them off one at a time. By the way, Paul was checking them off one at a time when he was Saul of Tarsus. When he was in the Jews' religion, he looked at the commandments, he looked at all the laws, all the judgments and statutes and testimonies that God gave to the nation of Israel, and he went about to fulfill those, and he kept checking them off, checking them off. But then, the law said, and by the way, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, as far as the law was concerned, blameless. He saw himself as blameless. But then, when the light went on, then when he trusted Christ, then when he became a member of the body of Christ, then when he had a new nature, the law came and said, thou shalt not covet. Oh, it struck me. It revealed in me all manner of immorality and all manner of coveting, and it pronounced me guilty. You see, without the law, as Paul declared earlier about Adam, you know, before there was a law, there was no transgression. There was no law to transgress. But now God gives the law. He has condemned the Gentile world because the Gentile world has rebelled against God, rejected God, doesn't want to have anything to do with God. Now God selects a group of people to whom he will give great advantage. And part of that advantage is his law, only to show that when an advantage is given to somebody who is in Adam, all they do is transgress it. They violate it. And so when the law came, what happened? The law couldn't fix this. The law couldn't give righteousness. The law didn't give power to Adam to do something right or good. The law could not give justification, righteousness, and life. Do this and live. But there's no power or energy or ability in the law to do that. All that the law did, when the law came in, and people said, oh, now I know what to do. Now I know how to please God. I'll just keep these laws, these commandments. And God says, no, that's not why I gave the law, because law doesn't fix any of this. You know what law does? It causes sin to abound. Law causes sin to abound. Oh, that law is horrible. What a terrible law. No, God says, through Paul, the law is spiritual, it is perfect, it is good, and it is holy. Romans 7. Nothing wrong with the law. You know what's wrong? What's wrong is you and me. We have no power to keep that law. So God gives the law, sin becomes just horribly sinful. It becomes more clear that sin is awful, and now there's transgression after transgression after transgression of God's holy, good, perfect spiritual law. And what happens? Grace abounds? No. Life abounds? No. Righteousness abounds? No. Sin abounds. Look at it, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Offense, remember, is departing from the path. Literally is what it means. And you give a law, and we naturally deviate from the path. We don't follow the law. We can't. Adam can't. It might look like Adam is keeping law. It might look like Adam is cleaned up. It might look like something happened to Adam on the outside. The reality is, God doesn't look at the outside. God looks at the heart. And he says, this is what's happened. Sin abounds. And the only way to fix that is not to repair Adam. It's to put Adam to the cross. That's what we'll see in Romans 6. Kill Adam. Adam has to die. And the one act of the one, Jesus Christ, is the one and only hope and possibility for a sinner who is in Adam to receive righteousness and life. And the point is, as we saw it in Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, as we will see in Romans 6, 7, and 8, Christ is the answer. For the ungodly, it's the death of Christ. For sinners, it's the death of Christ. For those without strength, it's the death of Christ. For enemies, it's the death of Christ. That's our only hope. It's the only answer. And that's the way we are made new creations, new creatures in Christ. So that's what happened with the law. Romans chapter 4 goes back to Abraham and says Abraham was justified by faith. Romans chapter 5 goes back to Adam and says we've got a basic problem which we've inherited. And you know where Ephesians goes? Ephesians goes way back before the foundation of the world and says, God says, I've got a plan. And I'm going to create this new man, and I'm going to make these individuals new creatures, and I'm going to place them into Christ, and they will be my heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and everything that belongs to him belongs to them, and I'm going to give them blessing upon blessing upon blessing. In fact, I'll give them everything I've got. That's where Ephesians goes. Ephesians goes before the foundation of the world and says, God has a plan. For you and for me, for members of the body of Christ. And it's all about the grace of God being poured out upon, well, upon you and upon me, who were in Adam, enemies of God. And God makes it all possible. The law demands that it be kept. But you know what? It doesn't give you any power to keep it. And so, grace is infinitely greater than sin in measure, in power, and in consequence. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If this is sin abounding, grace just opens it up without any limitations or proportions. Sin, when the law came, abounded. But where sin abounded, grace just came and blew the top off all that. It's totally in a new dimension. Grace did much more abound. Grace is infinitely greater in measure, in power, that as sin has reigned unto death. The reign of sin, when sin reigned, the reign of death, the reign of sin resulted in death. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign in righteousness. Grace reigning in righteousness. Grace did overly superabound. And grace has a power. We'll see that in Romans chapter 6. The power of grace. The key verse there, Romans 6:14. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you're no longer under law, but under grace. Grace able to give us the victory over the cause of our acts, sin. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, and the result unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. What's here? Judgment and condemnation, death. Grace reigns and gives us the gift of righteousness and life. Wow. To be out of Adam and to be in Christ. Isn't that great? To be in Christ and to be out of Adam. And people at best are trying their hardest to deal with Adam without coming to Christ, who paid for their offenses. Christ died for our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's nothing you can do over here. It's hopeless. The only one that can do something about it is God. God taking us out of Adam. God killing Adam. And we'll see that, how we have died with Christ. And we are alive. We have died. Adam has died with Christ at the cross. Now we're alive in Christ. That's the only hope, is the person and work, the work of Jesus Christ, the cross work of Christ, Christ dying for our sins. Your hope, my hope, and the hope of all you know and don't know.